www.thebeatcity.com.
All right. So, you know, technical things happen. Last week, the message got cut short a little bit, and that was because the battery in my microphone pack died. I do apologize for that. I thought about changing the batteries beforehand. I knew it was about that time to do it, but I forgot right before we got started, and not a lot was missed, but in the end, as I was listening to the message, I thought maybe it was a sign that the message was just a little bit too long. We missed the last few minutes. It's fine on the podcast if you want to go listen to the end, but that happened. And ironically, after church, I had to go home and jumpstart one of our vehicles because the battery had died on that vehicle as well. Now, it's a little bit of an old battery, but it should have been functioning. We're not sure if we left a light on or a door open or something, but we hadn't used that vehicle much at all since the safer at home time kicked in. So the power just got drained. Fortunately, we gave it a jump start. It started right up. But I was thinking about that idea this past week that, you know, COVID-19 and everything that's going on with it, it's taking a huge toll on every single one of us, right? It's draining us. And that's true both individually and as a society, right? We think about there's economic fallout from the coronavirus. There's been loss of life and health issues that are lingering and going on around us, even if it's not all that direct. And we hope we're turning a corner. That's not really clear yet, but those things are difficult, and what's going on, we could say, is tragic even. But you know what would be an even greater tragedy is if we get to the end of this safer at home time and find ourselves with spiritual batteries that are drained, or worse yet, dead. Right? Now is really a perfect time to reset our lives and pattern them around the values and around the priorities that God wants us to have. We've had most or maybe even all of our hobbies and activities kind of ripped away from us. On the flip side, we have time to get back to things that really matter to Jesus, right? We need to keep our batteries fully charged. And the reality is this, there's a world around us that needs Jesus. They need us as followers of Jesus to be at our very best. So, you know, what if instead of trying to just get by or get to the other side of this this season, instead of just trying to stay busy, we try to stay focused on Jesus? And I hope these past few weeks have been encouraging you a bit in that way. We're working through John chapters 14 through 17. These are words that Jesus gave to his disciples in a prayer that happened right before his death and resurrection. They didn't have time to implement them before that happened, but these words were something that they could carry with them after he ascended to heaven. And we've been working through them and focusing on just the key ideas that can encourage us a bit in this season of life. And I think there's some words that can both encourage and challenge us this morning. By way of recap, chapter 14, Jesus says these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he says that he will give whatever we need and that is according to his will. Right? He says he'll be with us. He promises he'll be with us. In the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will be in you, and he and the Holy Spirit are one. So he talks about that, and we summed it up with this idea that I'm all you need, and I'm still here. Right? I am all you need, and I'm still here. Then when we get to chapter 15, he says this, "But you need to stay, remain, or abide in me so that you'll bear good fruit." And what that looks like, he says, is you'll keep my commands. You'll love one another. You'll endure the struggle, and you'll bear witness to me. But none of that's going to happen unless you abide, right? Like branches that are connected to a vine is the illustration he uses. Jesus says, draw near to me, right? Draw near to me. But beyond bearing fruit, when we draw near to Jesus like he wants us to, there are three other things that we get as a result. Now, all three of these are things that we probably all want more of in our life anyway, but we need them in these days, especially for our own sake and for the sake of others. And that's what we're going to be hearing about as we work through John chapter 16. Now, as we work through this chapter, we're going to just do it. I'm just going to read through section by section. I'm not going to share too much on each section because that would take a lot of time. Although, as I mentioned, I do have fresh batteries, so we should be good to go on that. But I want to encourage you to pick up a Bible if you've got it with you, or follow along in your app that's not on your mobile device that you're watching this on. And just follow along, John chapter 16. And we're picking it up in the message that Jesus gave right after he talked about his disciples following him and testifying of him and how that would mean the world was going to come against them. Okay, so he kind of continues that train of thought as we pick it up there. So John chapter 16, starting in verse 1. "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I've said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." So Jesus says here, you know, you got to remember this stuff. It's like when your high school math teacher told you, oh yeah, you got to remember this because you're going to use this stuff the rest of your life. Only what Jesus said actually was stuff they were going to use the rest of their life. He says, "Remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage if I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you'll see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." So Jesus here says he's not going to be with them much longer, but it's to their benefit that he goes away. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, because they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And having the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus, is better than having him, because Jesus was just going to be in one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit could be with each one of them at every moment, no matter where they were, wherever they went. So it's to your advantage. It's better for you to have the Holy Spirit than to have Jesus the person with you. Verse 12, he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So the Holy Spirit was going to give them the ability to live their lives as witnesses for Jesus. And he was going to allow them to speak and to speak all the truth. If they were listening to the Holy Spirit, they were hearing the words of Jesus, because what God the Father had and given to Jesus, Jesus had passed on, would pass on to them through the Holy Spirit. They would know what to say. They would know what was truth. Verse 16, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me? And again a little while and you will see me? And because I'm going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while?" We do not know what he was talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you're asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me? And again a little while, and you will see me?" Right, that's a really wordy section of scripture, but the disciples here are kind of clueless. Right? They're thinking on an earthly plane. We've seen that throughout the entire Gospel of John. They're thinking on an earthly plane. He's speaking to them about a spiritual truth, a spiritual reality that's going to take place. They're thinking, well, maybe he's going to go some other place, like some other place in Israel, or maybe even outside of it. I mean, the authorities are out to kill him, so maybe he's just looking to hide out and get away from them. But Jesus knew there was no avoiding that. In fact, it's what he came to do in the first place. This was his plan all along, so he's not about to back off of that. He's not talking about going into hiding or going away where no one's going to find him. He's talking about going to be with the Father in heaven. See, yes, he was going to die on the cross, and yes, he would rise on the third day. But shortly after that, he would ascend to heaven. They weren't going to see him after that, at least not for a little while, right? Which meant the rest of their lives. Now, eventually, they were going to join him in heaven, but not yet. And as we're rolling through this, I think it's important for us to keep in mind that every aspect of this life as followers of Jesus, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it is, we're only here for a little while, right? It's just a little while compared to the scope of eternity that we have with Jesus. It's important for us to keep that perspective. All right, so verse 20, truly, truly, and by the way, here we're getting to our first point. Verse 20, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Right? What an appropriate passage for Mother's Day. This was not planned at all as I was reading this. I just was like, wow. It's that picture of a mother, again, that comes up in Scripture, and talking about what the disciples would go through in our perspective that we're supposed to have. It's a beautiful thing. So here's the takeaway from this passage, though. When we're drawing near to Jesus, he will be our joy. Right? He's going to be our joy. Now, we're going to get that joy completely when we're with him for eternity. And that joy is going to wipe away all of the sadness and the sorrow and the mourning that we have experienced. Now, we get that joy now, too, partially, not in the completeness we're going to have it, but we still have the hope of knowing what waits for us. All right? So Jesus is saying to them, if you draw near to me, I will be your joy. Right? I will be your joy. If we draw near to Jesus, we're going to find joy in him. And that's important because many of the things that we've found joy in are gone right now from our lives, aren't they? I mean, we think about the inability to see our family, to see our friends, to hang out with them, to spend time with them. Our hobbies, whether it's sports or dance or whatever. No, it's not like any of those things are necessarily bad things, but if this lockdown has taught us anything, it's that we can't rely upon any of them to bring us joy. Right? There's no guarantee with those things. Only Jesus can bring us real joy because his joy does not depend on the circumstances that we find ourselves in. It's something we have despite those circumstances. So no matter what's going on around us, we can still find joy in Jesus. And that's the first thing that we want to pull from this passage as an encouragement to us this morning and a challenge that when we draw near to Jesus, he gives joy. He says, I will be your joy. Okay, verse 23, let's keep working through. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So Jesus here, he reminds them again that he will give them what they need which is anything that they ask for that's in accordance with his will, that's in line with his will. Right? Again, I'm all you need. Verse 25, I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in the figure of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and I'm going to the Father. His disciples said, ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Like, we get it. Aha, a light bulb. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come. When you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. You know, Jesus said, look, I know what's coming. I'm going to be arrested, beaten. I'm going to go through this trial. I'm going to be found guilty even though I'm innocent. I'm going to be nailed to a cross. I'm going to die. Yeah, I'll rise again, but you're all going to scatter. And I'm telling you exactly what's going to take place so that when it happens, you're not surprised by it. Right? You're going to scatter. When that happens, look, don't be overcome by doubt. Don't be overcome by that reality. Right? Then he closes his comments with the two really powerful ideas in the last verse. Verse 33, he said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Right? And I think that's the second takeaway that we should be encouraged with and challenged by this morning. Jesus is saying, you draw near to me, and I will be your peace. Now look, Jesus had already said to them, don't let your hearts be troubled, a couple chapters ago, a couple of times actually. Don't be stirred up and agitated by what's going on around you. And as I think of that description of your hearts being troubled, stirred up and agitated, I think, doesn't that describe the vibe? Isn't that exactly what's going on around us these days? I mean, you look at the news, you look at Facebook, people are stirred up and agitated. Right? Some people are worked up about their health or people's health, the loss of life from the virus. Others are worked up about the state of the economy. And there's a tension between those two things. There's lots of fighting and arguing going on about it. Even here in our church, there's probably 100 different opinions about it all. And everyone thinks that they're the ones who've got it right. And if you look around on Facebook, they're out to prove it, right? But the reality is this, when people's lives and their livelihoods are both at stake, and you have to choose one over the other, there's no real good outcome, right? There's no perfect answer. If you're looking for the answer that's going to bring peace, it isn't going to happen. There isn't anything or anyone in this world that is going to bring you a sense of peace with all that's taking place around us except for Jesus. It's just not going to happen. So the peace we're looking for has to come from someone or something higher and greater than the circumstances we're in. So if you want peace, you find your peace in me, Jesus is saying. I will be your peace. And the last part of the verse, in this world, in the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Look, difficulties are going to come for us. Jesus predicted that. Said pretty much there's no avoiding them. He told us in advance that these things would come. And he was right about that. But you know what else he said? Take heart, I've overcome the world. So if he was right about the tribulation coming, you can be confident he's going to be right about that too. Remember that he has and he will overcome the world, which means you can find your strength in him. Right? And that's the third key takeaway, that Jesus says this: draw near to me and I will be your strength. I will be your strength. So I will be your joy, I will be your peace, and I will be your strength. These are the things he's saying you're going to experience when you draw near to Jesus. Even when things are going haywire, even when injustice comes our way, even when there is uncertainty about the future, even when your life and your livelihood hang in the balance, Jesus says, draw near to me. I will be your joy, I will be your peace, and I will be your strength. Look, as followers of Jesus, we should know this, right? We should know that he's the one who is the source of these things. We should know we aren't going to find them in anyone or anything else. But Jesus says, look, I am all you need. I'm still here. Draw near to me. I will be your joy. I will be your peace. I will be your strength. And I'm getting a bit worked up about this because honestly, I'm concerned. I'm really concerned that for us as a community of faith at Portico and as Christians in general, I'm not sure this is where we're at. I'm not sure this is what we're seeing. I'm not sure this is what people are tasting from us. Right? It certainly doesn't seem to be oftentimes what people are communicating to others. I've heard a lot of comments, seen a lot of posts and reposts that are honestly pretty nasty towards people who view things differently than the person posting them. And even the ones that are civil are still criticizing those who think or feel differently, even though I think that's pretty bold because it's so clear that there's really no perfect answer. And I want to say this as strongly and as nicely as possible. Please don't get caught up in that stuff. And here's why. As followers of Jesus, we can't be out there slamming people who don't feel the same way as us. That's not the posture we're supposed to take as followers of Jesus. I mean, think about it. If someone you know reads a post on your page that is anti-this or anti-that, and it doesn't even matter which side you're taking, if they don't share your opinion, you may have just closed the door on the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with them. If you repost something that contains crude, cruel, condescending, or cynical remarks towards others, even if it's true, you just destroyed your platform for sharing Jesus. And guess what? You haven't changed anyone's mind. You haven't changed a single opinion one bit. Is that worth it? I mean, I think we've got to ask the question, what's most important to us? Being right about our political perspective? Being right about the coronavirus? Being right about the economy? Or building bridges to people who need the love of Jesus? As followers of Jesus, we need to be different. We need to be better at this than we have been. Look, in some cases, you're insulting an unbeliever. In other cases, you're insulting a brother or sister in Christ. And the reality is in hopefully what is just a short while, we're going to be back together again, and you're going to have to look that person in the eye. How's that going to go? Right? You're going to have to deal with the hurt that you might have caused. And what if it turns out you were wrong? Look, it's fine to have opinions one way or the other, but I wonder if sometimes we're just being way too quick to share them. Anything we post, anything we say, anything we do makes a statement. And the question is that statement reflecting the heart of Jesus through us? As a follower of Jesus, we have to keep a higher perspective. Jesus lived at a time of political unrest. He lived at a time of oppression. He lived in a time where there were people around him dying constantly. He didn't completely disengage from either of those things, and we shouldn't either, but that wasn't his focus, right? He still kept focused on a higher purpose, on the kingdom, and we've got to do the same. I said this earlier, but this is where this flows out of. There's a world around us that needs Jesus, and they need us as followers of Jesus to be at our best in this time. Don't be someone who just adds to the noise. Rise above it. Rise above it. Be sure that what you say, what you do, is flowing from a heart that is drawing near to Jesus. We're supposed to be sharing joy with the people around us, the joy that we found in Christ. We're supposed to be, spreading peace that we found in Christ to people around us. We're supposed to be displaying strength that we found in Christ, but we can't do that if we aren't receiving it for ourselves. And we can't receive it unless we're drawing near to Him. If we're drawing near to Jesus and tapping into the Holy Spirit that He's poured out and put in us, within us, then we'll find that He will be our joy. He will be our peace. He will be our strength. And that's what people need to see and hear. That's what will start to flow out of our words and actions when we draw near to Him. In a moment, we're going to close with a song. It's called More Like Jesus. And that is the goal. That is what He wants for us. He wants to sanctify us, to make us more into the image of Jesus, into the image of His Son. I know that these words might be challenging in a lot of ways for us this morning. I hope you take that to heart. More importantly, I hope we're drawing near to Jesus and allowing Him to work in us and through us, that He would be the source of joy, peace, and strength that we're experiencing for ourselves and that we're also pouring out to others. Let's pray and close with this song. Father God, You are a God who loves this world incredibly. You love each and every person in it. You want each and every one to know the truth of Jesus and to come to a place of faith in You, to believing in You. And you have given us an opportunity and a responsibility to be Your voice in this world. And Lord, we can't be the right voice unless we're drawing near to You. And while we know that's challenging and can be challenging in a time like this, we ask that You would give us the strength to do it. That You would help us to move toward You, that You would shape and fashion our hearts, that You would work through the Holy Spirit in our lives and allow us to experience the joy and the peace and the strength, all the good things that You want us to experience despite our circumstances. And then we pray that You would give us the wisdom with how to share that with the world around us, that You would keep our perspective there, You would keep our focus on those things. God, we pray that You would use us. And in order to use us, we know You need to make us more like Jesus. And as we sing this song, we want this to be our prayer this morning. Chip away at the parts of our heart that need work. Soften the parts that need softening. Move by Your Spirit in whatever way You need to make us more like Jesus. We pray in His name. His precious name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.